One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I believe the Bible is right when it said, now the just shall live by faith. But I don't believe it's possible to live by faith unless we know the rules and regulations of faith, which, of course, is the Word of God. Verse 11, chapter 119 of the book of Psalms. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I submit to you that the 14 words and one verse that I've just read is the only answer to juvenile delinquents. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now verse 9, and he raises the question that we've just answered. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What's the answer? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Folks, I've just read to you tonight the simple answer in two verses of all the ills of this wicked and crooked and perverse nation we live in. Books have been written, articles, spreads, counselors, consultants, all of it to no avail. Nothing has stopped the downward trend of the American people, and nothing will except these two verses right here. Now then, that leads me to the subject that I began on one of our 15-minute broadcasts, and I feel there are 20 things I'm going to share with you. As many as I feel we have time tonight, and we'll continue in another message. Why are you so set and so determined to try to get people to memorize the Scripture? Why do you believe it's so important? Many preachers don't believe that you ought to memorize the Scripture. They believe it takes too much time to settle down on one verse or one chapter, and that you could be reading other chapters, and you don't need as long as you've got a Bible. Let me stop you right where you are. You may not have a Bible very long. Why memorize the Bible? Why memorize chapter after chapter of the Word of God? Why? I'm going to give you 20 reasons. I'm going to give you 20 reasons. And I'll tell you, if there's ever been a message, or maybe a series of messages, I want you to pay attention to. I want you, and I mean practice, I want you, and preachers out in radio land, I want you to memorize and to think about this business of memorizing a chapter every 30 days for the next 5 years. Number one, it's good exercise for your mind. In the midst of the greatest mental depression and the trouble, more mental trouble than we've ever known in the history of the world, people are troubled today in the mind because of trouble in the heart. And that's where the trouble is. But you know, memorizing the Bible, it sure will keep your mind off the devil. If you're memorizing the Scripture, you're not thinking evil thoughts. And you can't memorize the Scripture and watch television at the same time. They're poles apart. Now, I'll give you a verse. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace Because he trusteth in thee. And dear friend, I'd like to remind you that the world doesn't have perfect peace because it doesn't keep its mind on Jesus. Why, people think about the newspaper, television, more than they do the Lord. Then you wonder what's wrong with your mind. Listen, I hear people say, well, you ought to eat this because that's brain food. The best brain food in the world is the Word of God. Mind, he said, will give you sound mind. Number two, you ought to memorize the scripture because it's your bathroom and your laundromat and your washroom, because he said, now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. Everybody in this building right now is as dirty as a filthy rag unless you've been in the Word of God. There's no way to go clean. There's no way to keep. Now listen, don't tell me that you're going to walk through a muddy world and a filthy world and a smutty world and not get dirty. You will. You've got to have a place to go take a bath. There never has been a generation so conscious of bathtubs as this one. Back in my day, we had a number three tub. Don't need you laughing. You had one too. Now, But we didn't think about a daily bath like they do now. I mean, we just didn't. Why, brother, it was traditional that the Saturday night bath. And I mean, you hear about that Saturday night. Well, brother, that's about the way it was back then. Yeah. But I tell you what, back in those days, we didn't have a lot of the conveniences and gadgets that you have now. But we didn't have the problems either that we had. We sure didn't. People, they talk about taking the bath and talk about the high-powered detergents and bath, all that kind of stuff. But brother, how long has it been since you plunged into the King James Version soaked water? Oh, I know people say, well, I'm tired. I'm going to go get in a tub and soak a while. Take a good old warm bath. Isn't it strange that people are cleaner on the outside than they are on the inside? Now, I'm going to tell you something else. And this doesn't make sense, but it's all just the same. Back in the days when we worked on the farm and sweated, drank a lot of water, had a lot of sunshine fell down on top of us, and we didn't have a big, long bathtub, and we had a little number three tub, and we didn't take as many baths then. But I tell you what, now, you have to explain it and figure it out for yourself. We didn't have any deodorants either. Now then, they got more bathtubs and more bath soap and more spray and got to use more deodorant. Listen, we're living in a time when we're taking a bath on the outside, but on the inside, Jesus is looking. Nodding his head in the wrong direction, saying, God have mercy. Look at the dirt on the inside. Look at the emphysema in your spiritual lungs. Just look at the coat on your tongue because of the filth in your tummy. It's my bathroom. It's my laundromat. It's my washroom. Number three, you ought to memorize the Word of God because it's our dining room. That's where we eat. He said, feed the church of God. Feed them. Lead them to the dining room. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lead me to the pasture. Let me dine. Let me eat regularly. Let me eat Bibles, heavenly health food. It's my dining room. Number four, it's my bedroom. That's where I rest. The Bible's my resting place. Yes, it's my consolation room where I go for the consolation and comfort for my heart. It's a place where I can rest spiritually. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Number five, it's my library. This is many books. This is, the fact is, I think this is a getting together of all the worthwhile books and wisdom of the world. You think of everything being put in one book, that's my library. You think of finding one book that you find the answer to every question, to every need, this is it, this is my library. Walk in one book and got my library, whole library in one book. Don't have to wonder about what book, and we'll forget a lawyer. Somebody mentioned this week, and had many experiences, but he's still living. He's here in Corpus. And years ago, he got in trouble. And he called for me, said, I want you to come. And I went out to his nice home or house, and his last wife was one that he picked up in England and brought over here. And I walked through his, the big door and came through. I walked through his library. I want you to know he had shelf after shelf filled with law books, philosophy books, psychology books. I mean, every kind of a book you could think of. His wife led me around to his bedroom, and there he was, scared to death and not ready to die. He looked up at me as scared as a little child in a dark, stormy night. He said, Brother Olaf, he said, I need help. And I said, yes, I want to help you. I'm glad you called for me to come. I began to talk with him about the Lord. He was so scared it was hard for him to concentrate. His mind had been so cluttered up with sin so long, it was hard for him to focus in on the truth. And I said to him, what you need is the Word of God. And I didn't bring my Bible in out of the car. And I said, I need a Bible. I want to read to you for a while. He said to his wife, said, would you go in the library and bring me a Bible? She made off to the library. She came back and looked at him, puzzled, and said, we don't have a Bible in the house. And that's it. Smart, intelligent lawyer. Had all the books scattered through his library. He didn't have the one book that he needed most. There wasn't a law book. There wasn't a philosophy book. There wasn't any sort of a geography book. There wasn't anything in his library that would help him live or die. Not a thing. Had everything but the right thing. Every book but the right book. That's the way America is right now. Poor old ignorant, spiritually illiterate America. Memorize the Word of God because it's your library. Number six, the Word of God is your optometrist. That improves your vision. That keeps cataracts off. It gives you 20/20 vision. The Word of God. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Lack of wisdom. This whole world's suffering from tonight. You don't get it by going off to college. You don't get it by reading books. You get it by asking for it. It's our optometrist. It's our sin prevention. You remember the old saying? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's only one thing going to keep you out of sin and keep the devil out of you, and that's the Bible. When Jesus had his great battle of Armageddon in the wilderness and there wasn't anybody present but the devil, what did he do? He just hit him three times with the sword. And brother, his innards were hanging out. Are you listening? I know that's a crude way. Brother, I believe Jesus whacked him wide open with the Word of God. That sorry rascal grabbed himself and hobbled off through the wilderness. Well, Jesus knew how to use the Word of God. And if it took the Word of God for Jesus to defeat the devil, what in the world are you going to do? Full of the devil and sin and weaknesses, we can't make it without the Word of God. I'm talking about memorizing the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. It's the catalog of the Christian walk. I said it's the catalog. That's where you order your steps, Bobby. Order your steps. Ah, listen. It's heaven's catalog. You order what you need. And it comes in on the next flight, and it all comes airmail. And angels deliver it. Order my steps in the Word. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Brother, you better get your catalog. You say, what is it? The catalog of the King James Version. You don't know where to walk. You don't know how to walk. You haven't got strength enough to walk. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. Ah, listen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Ah, this old book is all it will ever need, from earth to heaven. Memorize it. I'm asking everybody that's listening to me in this first part of the message, I want you to memorize the books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. I want you to read the Bible through, reverently, prayerfully. Mark it down. Read it through. Believe it all. Pass it on. Hold it tight. Never let it go. Memorize one chapter every 30 days. That's the assignment. Three of them. The books, read through. Memorize a chapter every 30 days. 5 years from right now, we'll know 60 chapters. Think of it. 60 chapters of the Word of God. 60 whole chapters of the Word. We got them all put down in the Bible. Memorize them one after another. And every time you memorize a chapter, throw your hat or your bonnet over the windmill of faith and holler, hooray for Jesus. Oh, the sweetest and best things are yet to come. The best things are yet to come. Seem like in the message the Lord has given me and keeps adding to it. Let's memorize the Word of God. You girls, the devil can't get in if your heart's full of the Word of God. Did you know that? If you've got your bucket full of peaches, you won't have any room left for rocks and mud and dirt. And so fill your bucket up with the Word of God. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will. Makes you rich. If I were to preach a sermon on how to get rich quick, and that's what everybody wants, you know, in 6 easy lessons. I mean, teach me quickly. I mean, I've got to get it quick. Put it in the capsule and give it to me. I'm going to run. Yeah. This old generation is in a hurry. To do what? To go somewhere so they can head back. Folks, I like the song I was looking at a while ago. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in him always and lean on his word. Brother, the Word of God will help you in any kind of trouble you may face. And so memorize the Word of God. Let me go over it again. Memorize the books of the Bible. You new girls, some of you just came in, talked to you today. Memorize the books of the Bible. That's quick, just like that. Memorize the books of the Bible. Get them straight now so you can find some. You get around in the book. Yeah, ain't no need driving into a town without a road map or without a street map. Street guy, you won't make it. Oh, I tell you, you won't even know where nothing is. No need heading down the highway going from here to Canada or from here to California without a road map. You won't know where to go. Have to stop at every filling station and say, where am I? Get your road map from here to glory, the Bible. Read through the Bible and then memorize those 60 chapters. To me, that's a challenge that no Christian could afford to pass up. You'd say, why did you say that? Because I believe God led me to do what I'm doing, and if he led me to do it, I believe he'll lead you to accept it as your challenge. I don't believe that I'm misled. I don't believe the devil came to Lester Roloff and said, all right, let's get him back in the Word of God. That's the thing that whacked me open in the wilderness. That's the thing that defeated me when Jesus and I had our duel out there in the Word of Death. Listen, today's the day of salvation. Everybody in the enterprises, every girl, every boy, every alcoholic, every narcotic addict, every drug-defeated man or woman will be expected to memorize one chapter every month. That'll be 12 chapters. Do that for 5 years, and this is a five-year program. That's 60 chapters. I ask you to accept this challenge, every last one of you. You may not miss the Bible a great deal. You may not have been in enough trouble yet. But what if you go into, and I think we're entering now pre-tribulation days. I really do. I think we've seen the violence of Noah and the homosexuality of Lot. I believe we've seen the imagination of the heart and the evil always continually. I believe we've seen the home break down and religion break down and the government break down. And I believe all of that is predicted. I believe I've seen the school corrupt itself and be shot full of infidelity and dope and sin and filth. All of that is a part of the cratering of one of the last nations on the face of the earth to represent Christ. Now, what are you going to do when the trouble comes? What do you think they're going to be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall? I reckon what they're doing out there. Well, I guess you know that the people are already hiding all this stuff out in the mountains. They're already taking their groceries. They're already trying to convert everything to silver. They're already trying to get ready. Brother, they're going to need something besides gold and silver. You're going to need something besides some rations out there in a cave somewhere. You're going to need Jesus. You're going to need the Word of God. I ask you to get ready. Now, the number 9, and this is what the flesh doesn't like. It's my humiliator. It's my humiliator. I can read the newspaper and feel pretty self-righteous. I say, well, I'm not as bad as that junk. I can read most any man's book and can come out standing up. But I get to reading the Bible, I wind up on my knees. It humiliates me to pieces. You know why? I never have measured up, and you haven't either. I love the Bible because it gives me a higher goal than I've ever reached. Gives me a desire to do better than I've ever done. There's no book that digs in my soul like the Word of God. There's no book that humiliates me like the Word of God. Shames me. Makes me sorry that I've not been a better man. And a better, it's my humiliator. I need to memorize a lot of it. Anything that'll keep me humble will help to keep me holy. Anything that keeps me humble will keep me praying. No man can pray till he's humble. Bible said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. The Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you. It's my humiliator. Number 10, how precious for the preacher. It's my message. I need to memorize it. It's my message. If I'm going to deliver the Word of God, I ought to memorize a bunch of it. Suppose the lights go off. I'll not be surprised one of these days if we lose our electricity. We're living in the day of a lot of gimmicks and gadgets, but a lot of inefficiency. You know why? People don't care. They just don't care. The service today is not what it used to be because people have lost a desire to be efficient. It's my message. It's the only message. It's the only message that'll redeem these girls and boys. And it's the only message that'll save a home. It's the only message that'll encourage a discouraged person. The Bible is my message. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not the only one that's supposed to have a message. Did you know that every Christian has a message? I'm not talking about you just your testimony. That's good. That's all right. Last Sunday night, we heard 50 people stand here and give their testimonies and turn and take much of the time, which is sweet and precious. But your little testimony will run threadbare unless you have a Bible message. Ah, listen. We need to know the message. This is my message. I want to memorize the Word of God. And if I know hundreds of chapters of the Word of God, and I'll tell you one thing. People have asked me all over this country, preachers have said, Brother Wolf, why don't you start a prophet school? Why don't you start? They don't want me to teach. I'm not a teacher. They want me to, they said, we'd like to go somewhere and learn to live by faith. You know what I do if I came down here? Just spend the time memorizing Scripture, testifying and praying. That's it. Go out and knock on some doors in order to get some exercise, and that's it. Nobody can live by faith without staying in that book. If you spend more time reading the newspaper than you do the Word of God, forget about trying to live by faith. Just forget it. If you've got your silly head in an idiot box longer than you've got it in the Word of God, forget about trying to live by faith. It's impossible. I'm trying to tell you something today. You don't live by sight. You live by faith. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. But he said, the entrance of thy word brings life. It giveth life. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's my message. The Bible, I ought to memorize it, because it's surely my message. Number 11, it's my dynamo that gives me life and power. And there's no other. The Bible is the source of all real power. Any experience you have or any fire that you get that doesn't come out of the Bible is wildfire and false power. You say, but I had a dream. And I tell you what I had. I had a King James Version. Woo! I saw a vision. I did too in the King James Version. I'm not saying you can't have a vision. I didn't say you couldn't dream something. But I sure don't want to go by my dreams. And I wouldn't go by yours either. But I tell you what I can do. I can go by the King James Version. That's more than a man's dream. That's a heavenly revelation. I said I need to memorize it because it's my dynamo. It's my diesel that runs all the lights down at the lighthouse. The electricity and the deep freeze and the cooler. That's my power. Brother, apart from the Word of God, there is no power. There could be no spiritual power apart from the Word of God. God's put everything down in the Word of God. Number 12. We're living in the day of credit cards, aren't we? Boy, that's a sad day when somebody invented the credit card. Oh, my brother. Well, let me just say this. The Bible is my master card. Because it tells me about the master, and he's the one that keeps me charged. That's what Paul said to Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, before the Lord, preach the word. And you can't preach the word till you're charged. And this is our master charge, the Bible. This is the safest thing I know of to go by. It's our master charge. It's number 13, it's my checkbook. It's my checkbook. I can write checks on all the promises, but you got to know how to write a check. Did you know I was grown and I went to Baylor? I'd never written a check. I get amazed at these young people that have checking accounts. Little old kids, they wouldn't know what to do with it when they get it. You know, this is the age of children. Everybody, the children. I believe in the children's rights. And they've got all that stuff going across this country. Little old kids, you know, 13, 14, 15. Little old girls dating and running around, boys driving around town, running all over the country. They didn't do it that way when we were coming up. Children, every little child got its own television set in its bedroom. Right at the foot of the bed, or right over there, where you just push a button and here comes old Hollywood.
Yes, sir. Well, that little old girl lives in such a glamour world, and she'll never come into reality at all. Oh, one of these days, though, when this thing crashed, she'd say, what I saw sure hadn't helped me, and it didn't. That's the reason this home's so full of girls, and that's the reason we're going to turn 300 away during December. That's enough to fill 3 100 bed dormitories. I'm saying the Bible is my checkbook, and I'm going to use it. My dad told me when I went to Baylor, I was grown, of course. I'd stayed out of school a year. My daddy said, Lester, or he usually said, son. That is, if he was real tender with me. If he wanted to get straight with me, he said, Lester, that's very serious. He said, son, I said, yes, sir. Now, you're going off to school. I'd never been on a college campus. I mean, to go to school, I didn't know my way around. And this country boy went off to Baylor University. He said, now, son, I know you don't have any money. And I'd planned, and he's going to furnish the feed and the little old Jersey cow to milk my way through school and get my board and room. And he said, son, he said, if you get in a real tight, you can't make it. You need some money real quick. I'm going to teach you how to write a check. And my daddy, with very little education, had a little old checkbook. He didn't have anybody's name on it like they do now. Just had a little old checkbook. He said, now you write the check, and when you get ready to sign it, said you sign it, H.A. Roloff, and then down under that put, by Lester. And he said, if the money's not in the bank, I'll go borrow it, and I'll take care of it. Brother, God said one day, when I got saved, he said, I'm going to give you a checkbook, son. And I'm glad he said, son. Rather than say son than Lester. He said, son, I want you to know that I got a big bank account. And you can't overdraft me at the bank of faith if you'll sign in Jesus' name. And don't put your name down there, because just put it in Jesus' name. I'll only honor the check that's signed in Jesus' name. I never dreamed, dear friend, that I'd write as big a check as I've written in my life. I'm not talking about personally, but oh, the checks. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how the Lord has honored the faith that he's given us? Can you imagine some 10 years ago, Alfred Edge, one of my directors who sits in this building, put me in his nice car as a real estate man and drove me over this section of the country and wound up right here. And we circled around just a little bit, and I said, this is it. This is it. How much? 79 acres, $92,500. I said, this is it. The man, I think maybe he died the other day, Al, a good friend. He was a precious friend. Went to be with the Lord, talked to him many times. He had great respect for us and for the ministry. And he said to Mr. Edge, how does Brother Olaf propose to pay $92,500? And Brother Alfred, I think, raised up his voice of faith and said, cash. Cash. I don't know what we put up, maybe $5,000. I think Alfred put that up, maybe. But anyhow, $5,000. Didn't have a penny in the world. Not one penny. And yet on time. In fact, just 1 week before it came due, all of it was paid. Brother, this place right here, people ought to come for miles just to walk across this land. I really mean it. And I say that days ago. If people just knew. And I know they'll never know. They'll never understand. But if you could just walk across these old fields that I've walked across so many times on Sunday morning, pleading as I put my foot down, Lord, you said on wherever my soul or my foot falls, you'd give it to me. And I want this land. I want this land. Acre after acre. He gave us this. He gave us the 57 over here. He gave us the 43 back here. He gave us 120 over here, then he gave us another 130 over there, and then he gave us 25 down here, and then he's fixing to give us another 140 or 50. You say, how do you know? Faith! You quit asking silly questions.
What am I talking about? The Bible's my checkbook. It's my checkbook. The Lord said, son, sign my name. Write. Why, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. There you are. Ask what you will, and I will. Are you willing, brother? I tell you what, the Word of God will help you to find His will. And when your will, when my will becomes His and His becomes mine, He said, you can help yourself. You'll never have an overdraft at the bank of faith. I remember when Dick Lanfear was my banker, Brother V.E. Lanfear, precious friend. And he'd call me. Many a time I've had him to call me. He said, Brother Roloff, the roof is leaking. Strange, isn't it, for a banker's roof to be leaking. He didn't mean his roof. My roof was leaking. Listen, he said, Brother Roloff, you come down now today or tomorrow, and we'll get it all fixed up. I said, thank you, Brother Dick. I'd go down there. That means that we'd had a little overdraft. Did you know what? I've never had my heavenly banker to call me up and say, preacher, the roof is leaking. Never has leaked in. Never. I've never had an overdraft at heaven's bank. I visited George Clark this week and his wife, and you'd think we were having a family reunion. Listen, I called him up on the phone and I said, I'll be by. He said, come on. And I went in there. Talk about a wonderful sweet visit Gary and I had in the banker's home. And that had done so much business. I kept him baffled all the time, really. He'd get so upset with me sometimes. I'd get upset with him. But oh, listen, one of the joys of his life now is to know. He said, preacher, I always helped you, didn't I, when you needed help. I never did turn you away, did I? I said, no, Brother George, but you kind of made it hard while you was making up your mind. One day, I like to tell it a thousand things. I had many memories this week as I visited back across town, and some of the things maybe I'll share with you, but one thing I did say and did come to a conclusion, that is, our problem is not material problems. When we get the enterprise workers to go soul winning and live right and have the power of God, all these other things will be added. I know that. God said to me as I drove my car into that garage over there, he said, son, if you'll ever get your people out on the field and they'll go to work for God instead of piddling and playing around and going to bed and doing nothing about soul winning, he said, I'll give you all that you've asked for. Brother George Clark called me one day and said, preacher, he said, could you come down to the bank? He could talk so short sometimes. I said, yes, sir, I'll be down there in a minute. And I was down in about 15 minutes. He said, I can see him now. You know how he walked, just like that, just. He'd get up and he'd walk. Bankers can be so important. I mean, he'd just get up and walk around, you know, and leave me sitting there, just leave me. He'd walk completely out. He'd just walk right on out, have his head up, you know, just look like no problem in the world for him. I had all the problems. See, boy, I'd sit there and wait. I had more things to do, and there he was out there. Of course, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's checking on everything. I mean, he'd already gone back in the place where they kept all the records. He came back. He sat down. He said, preacher, we're on the bank down here. I said, yes, sir. He said, how come you'd write a check for $25,000 and didn't have enough money to cover it? I don't know how he found out about it. I mean, really, because the check hadn't come back. He knew. He knew. He found out that I wrote a check for, and that was Friday morning, and I said, has the check come back? He said, no, it hadn't come back, but it's coming back. I said, tears begin to roll down my face. That always got him. Listen. When he looked over and said, see a few rainbows on my cheek and those tears, he'd stare at me. He said, well, he said, I tell you, he said, how do you write a check when you haven't got the money in the bank? And I tell you, I shot him again. I said, do you really want to know? My chin is trembling just a little. I said, do you really want to know? He said, yeah, I want to know. I said, we was in a prayer meeting out on Park Avenue in the office this morning. And the Lord told me to write the check for $25,000. He said, do you think it's... I said, if it's not honored when it gets back, the Lord didn't tell me to do it. And I said, you call. He said, I'll call you. To this day, he's never called me. God honored the obedience of this preacher. Folks, I'm just trying to tell you, and I've got to close now. If I could just get you to see that you can take the Bible and literally live by it, and that's book, and that's your master charge, and we ought to memorize. Wonderful Word of God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.